526 KPFT. Pledge now. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT Houston.
Hi there. This is KPFT General Manager Dwayne Bradley, asking you to call in a pledge of support to this program. KPFT is one of only five Pacifica radio stations on the entire planet, and we in and around Houston are indeed blessed to have one of these rare jewels on our radio dial. Please call in a pledge of support for independent, community-based, non-commercial, listener-sponsored KPFT. The phone number is 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. 90.1 FM Houston with Mike Honig and Egberto Willis. Just to let you know, because, you know, we are on radio, you can't see. When it comes to dancing in your chair, the good-looking black guy is always going to be better than the old fat white guy. That's, you know, just the way it is.
You know what is so funny, Mike?
What's that?
That stereotype isn't going to work for me because I'm the worst dancer on the planet.
Ah, but you see, everything is relative, and we're relating it to me.
Oh, okay.
So you see.
But, you know, I thought you were doing pretty well. I saw you kind of holding the rhythm. I was like, hey, check him out, dude.
I can do the rhythm. I just can't dance.
Oh, okay. Well, Welcome aboard. But, Mike, what's today, buddy?
Today is Monday, and it is the spring fundraiser for KPFT. But we're not going to spend every single minute talking about fundraising because that's tedious and you'll tune out and then you won't send any money and, you know, that's no good. Okay, so if you want to help support your community radio station that is 100% listener supported these days, regardless of what the prior canned thing said, 713-526-5738. All donations are tax deductible. KPFT is a 501c3 educational nonprofit, and we do our best to educate. Do you know that KPFT has almost 100 unique programs? That's amazing. We're not talking about it broadcasts 100 shows a week, you know, like 5 days of this and 5 days of that. 100 unique titles, about 98 or 95, something like that. That's unbelievable. And there's no Sean Hannity here. There's no Rush Limbaugh here. This is all progressive. It's all intelligent. We all try to stick to the facts. I know, speaking for myself, I'm very particular about getting my facts right. I will admit if I make a mistake. I will research these things. I believe in the motto that you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts. I stand by that. I believe in that. And that's why I respect everybody who calls, even if they don't agree with me, which is common because I'm the most conservative liberal at the station. Okay, 713-526-5738. We cannot take your call on the air, but boy, would we appreciate you helping to make our goal tonight. Our goal, I believe, is what, $200 tonight?
No, I think it's actually $250.
Is it?
Yeah, but I could be wrong.
We could say 400.
Yeah.
And then if we get 200 and that turns out to be the goal, that would be
great. Yeah, so folks, give us a call to I did it again.
You want to give? I think you just want to give out your phone number, man.
No, but I can't.
I'm going to tell your wife.
71. Please don't. 713-526-5738. Folks, we need your pledges. We need your membership. Right, Mike?
Yes, we do. You know, only about 8% of listeners at any given time are supporting this station. You know, there's an old saying, why should you buy the cow when you're already getting the milk? To some extent, I mean, we know that that applies to, like, dating and stuff. But that also applies to community-funded radio. It's like you're already getting the broadcast. Why support KPFT? Because if you don't, who will? If you're listening to KPFT and not supporting it or helping to contribute to it, that means that some of your friends and neighbors are paying for you. That ain't entirely right. We want you to listen. If you can't afford to contribute and support the station, things are a little tight. But you know what? Yeah, we have all these different membership levels. We've got $40 for a voting membership, and then we have $70 for this premium and $90 for that premium. We have the stop human trafficking thing. But you know what? If what you can afford is $5, we appreciate that. If you can afford $16.50, we appreciate that. If you have a car you want to donate that you're not using, can't sell, as long as it's got an engine in it, it doesn't have to be running. Literally, this is true. It doesn't have to be running. If it has an engine in it, you can donate that, take a tax deduction. That helps to support the station. There are so many ways to support this station. If you want to help support KPFT, call 713-526-5738. If you're not sure what might work, whether it's a charge card or a debit card or a check or a donation of a vehicle or some other thing, you know what? If you came back from a trip to Europe or Asia, you got some foreign currency, we can work with that. Call up. I think Bob is on the phone right now. I'm not sure if Bobby's answering phones. Bobby may be answering phones, but Bobby's our backup phone answerer, I think, right now. But in any case, call 713-526-5738, they will tell you how you can help us out.
Let us hear those phones ringing.
Let us hear those phones
713-526-5738. Remember, we are here volunteering to bring you the real news, not what you're going to hear. You know, Mark.
Well, real opinion and news.
Opinion and news, but fact-based
informed opinion.
Informed, fact-based opinion.
Thank you.
And what's interesting is Mark Vivawi had a guest on. I don't remember his name. It was a guy who worked for the CIA. And Mark asked him to give a quick pitch because, you know, Mike's program was mostly on his subject. And the guy said, you know, this was a guy who went to jail for whistleblowing. And he said, you know, his story couldn't be told on the mainstream media.
It
required
anymore.
A place like this for his story to be told.
That is true. That is true. Okay, just so we don't sort of get into this, please help us, rut. You know, there was an interesting article that I scanned through on the Washington Post entitled Freddie Gray's Life, A Study on the Effects of Lead Paint on Poor Blacks. Apparently, at various points in his life, he had been in trouble with the law before. At a very young age, he had had a blood test for lead. And apparently, the lead content in his blood, I think that it's like 5 microliters or something per liter of blood is considered the maximum, quote-unquote, safe level of lead in the blood. Used to be 20. And with improved science, they cut that down, the EPA cut that down to 5. And I think at one point, Freddie Gray actually tested it like 30. Now, this is a very interesting thing because, you know, lead is a heavy metal which the body does not give up easily. It causes neurological damage. It tends to cause aggression. It tends to inhibit the action and the action penalty or action and reward
right.
center. So you can't make a connection between what you do and how it might impact you. It makes people more aggressive. There are three places, really, that lead made a huge impact in this country from maybe the early 1900s until about the 1970s. Lead in paint, lead in plumbing, and lead in gasoline. We still have soil contaminated from fuel waste products that contain lead in the atmosphere that drifts into the soil. Paint, until 1978 or 80 in that area, was made with lead. Lead, from a strictly chemical industrial standpoint, lead is a great metal. It has a lot of different uses. Unfortunately, it doesn't go well with living organisms. Small little drawback. So apparently they've done some studies. Now, of course, correlation is not causation. And that's always a very, very important thing to remember as a scientific principle. You can see a correlation in many things, but that does not automatically mean that the correlation points to the cause. However, there is a correlation between the reduction of lead in the environment and the reduction of violent crime. Now, there is also a correlation between the reduction, relatively speaking, in the number of young people and the reduction in violent crime. So you get to this correlation-causation problem. But, you know, there are theories among historians and archaeologists that actually one of the reasons for the decline and fall of the Roman Empire was because they used lead in so many things. The word plumbing actually comes from the Latin for lead. What is it, plumbus?
It's plumbum.
Plumbum.
Yeah.
That's where the word plumbing comes from. That's why the chemical symbol for lead is Pb instead of something logical like Ld. And they used it in their plates. They used it in their beverage containers. They used it in their plumbing. They used it in for their drinking water. When they used it to drink wine in their goblets, the wine is slightly acidic, which had a higher tendency to leach molecular or atomic lead out of the vessels. And, you know, they talk about the mad emperors, and there is some thought that actually this lead. Oh, and there's another great place. You know where else they got lead? There was a time when black pepper, really almost any spice in the West, was literally worth more than its weight in gold. It was so expensive and so hard to bring it from the East to the West, which is what the Roman Empire was in, that it was actually worth more than its weight in gold. So unscrupulous merchants would grind in a little lead into their black pepper in order to make the weight. Lead was really cheap. Black pepper was really precious. It didn't take a lot of grains of black pepper to equal the weight of many, many more grains, I'm sorry, of lead rather, to equal the weight of many, many more grains of black pepper. So there was an enormous amount of potential ingestion of lead during the Roman Empire. And it may have, in fact, caused changes in mental faculties, planning, forward thinking, the ability to govern, the amount of violence in the empire, the unwillingness to follow rules. I mean, all of these different things that are the impact of a high level of lead in the body. So getting back to Freddie Gray, you know, they just talk about the effect of lead paint on poor blacks. But here's a reality. Poor people can't buy stuff. This may come as a shock. Poor people cannot buy stuff. So when you have cars that come out that are higher efficiency and less polluting, the very, very last people to get them are poor people. And the poor people don't usually get them until these vehicles are 10 or 20 years old. When you come out with very energy efficient refrigerators, well, they'll probably buy that refrigerator used in, I don't know, 5 years, 8 years, or they'll buy a low-end refrigerator, which is the most they can afford, which of course does not have the same energy-saving features because the higher level of insulation is more expensive. One of the reasons that you have a refrigerator that fits inside a standard space, I forget what it is, 33 inches, 36 inches, something like that, in the width for a standard width refrigerator. And it used to be that a refrigerator like that had maybe 22, 23 cubic feet of capacity. And now you've actually got some of these 30 cubic feet of capacity, but they fit in the same space. The reason for that is you have very, very efficient insulation now that they can build into the refrigerator. See, I used to sell appliances. That they can build into the refrigerator, but that very effective insulation that takes up a lot less space is very expensive. So poor people are always the last ones to get anything that's healthy, anything that's energy efficient. They're the last ones to get rid of the lead paint in their houses. They're the last ones to get the lead out of their soil. They're the last ones to get energy efficient
so
stuff.
So poor people always get the short end of the stick.
Poor people, it but has to do with this thing about being poor.
I see Bobby standing at Election Central. Let's see if Bobby has anything
Bobby,
to
you
tell
got
us.
Something for us?
I've got a little something for
Mazel
you.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, we are, as you would say, 60% of the way there.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah, we just need someone else to help us out to get to that
That's wonderful.
40%.
Thank you. Is there a name we can attribute to that?
We can. We can thank a Mr. Limbaugh.
What? Ha! Seriously?
Not making that up.
Man, that would be pride, you know, where he says, you guys can't fight me anyhow. Here's some money.
Yeah. No other comment other than that. He thought that his last name was enough comic relief.
Okay.
No kidding.
Really? That's his last name?
Yeah.
That is comic relief. Well, thank you, Mr. Limbaugh. And, God, that feels strange.
He didn't even want a thank you gift. So.
Well, that's great. Because
he just wanted to help out.
Does that mean that now there is an equal matching contribution still to the fight against human trafficking?
There could be. I think that depends on
if they've hit the goal yet.
If they wanted it. I think they have to specify.
Well, he didn't take his premium, and it doesn't cost KPFT anything to get that matching contribution.
That is true.
So if it's okay with Mr. Limbaugh, and if they haven't yet reached their goal, because I think there's like a $70,000 matching limit. Mm-hmm. So if they haven't reached their goal,
Sign him up.
Hopefully, Mr. Limbaugh will understand that I think that this is a way of doubling the value of his generosity, and that would be terrific. What do you say about that, Bobby? Can we maybe do that?
I can definitely give him a call back and read him the rest of this pamphlet here. I don't see why not.
Well, maybe give him the Reader's Digest version of it. We don't want to put him to sleep or nothing.
There's only three paragraphs.
Okay, well, that's not so bad. Yeah. Maybe give him the first two sentences of each paragraph and... That's where the most information is anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, 713-526-5738 for KPFT's spring fundraiser. You're listening to Mike Honig and Egberto Willis here on ThinkWing Radio. And Bobby and Mr. Bob are in the control in, I'm sorry, Pledge Central is what I think we call it now, as opposed to usually it's just the conference room and place where people wait to go on the air. But now it is Pledge Central.
As opposed to the green room.
As opposed to the green room. Thank you. I hear a phone ringing. That's terrific. Thanks so much. 713-526-5738. Help support your community radio station. 100% relying on you. Okay, what else we got in the news? We got, here's an interesting article from the Brookings Institute. I follow them on Twitter. It's kind of interesting. Their study is titled, Germany's Population is Shrinking and Aging. Are its workforce policies sustainable? I don't know that the article lived up to the expectations built by the title, but it did touch on something that I do feel very strongly about. When they talk about German retirement policies, how and when people become eligible for retirement, the article did touch on drawing a distinction between people who do physical labor most of their lives versus people who do white-collar work most of their lives, and the difference in the physical toll that it takes on you. But here's the thing. You know, I've had two major careers, I guess three if you want to include photo processing, but basically two major careers in my life. I spent 20 years as a window covering installer, and I spent at least 16 years, not counting the part-time work for my mom and stepdad, at least 16 years in retail. Now, retail sales, generally speaking, would be considered white-collar work, right? I mean, it's not considered blue collar. You don't think of a retail salesperson as being a laborer. But I'll tell you what, you're not allowed to sit down on the floor. They can't have chairs in your department where you can sit down if you're not busy. So this begins to take an enormous toll on your veins, on your knees, on your spine, on your neck. Just standing. If you go into a store, what you'll notice is most of the floor associates are fairly young. If you go into a store where the floor associates are older, you'll notice they're not walking very briskly like the young people are. They're kind of hobbling a little. Pain. So I think while I really appreciate the fact that they at least touched on this aspect of white-collar retirement age versus an appropriate blue-collar so-called retirement age, I think it's also important to remember that there are some white-collar jobs that are physically more demanding than others. Now, of course, in this country, we make no distinction of those things at all. It's just a matter of, well, you get early retirement and Social Security at 62, and you get full retirement at 66, and people are trying to make it 67 and 69 and 70. And you know what? I, about once a quarter, I go to a clinic for pain remediation. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. I don't see a lot of people in that waiting room that look like executives. Almost everybody in that waiting room looks like they work. We're talking about yard guys, air conditioner guys, roofers. This is not just an assumption on my part. Occasionally you get to chat a little bit. So when we talk about extending the retirement age, it really does matter what you've been doing in the 40 years before you retire as to how ready you are to really retire. I mean, this is a really important issue. And, you know, the guys in Congress who keep recommending an older retirement age, and, well, we live till 80, we live till 90, life expectancy is so high. But, you know, there's lifespan, and as my wife in her work has pointed out, there is health span. You can live long, but not be particularly healthy or particularly pain-free. So you have guys in the colleges, in the universities, in the research institutions, and they may work there until they drop dead in their 70s or 80s. Whereas you've got, I mean, I don't know how many 65-year-old air conditioning repairmen you've met.
Not many.
How many 65-year-old auto mechanics you've met?
Not many. These are demanding jobs.
Yeah. These are physically demanding jobs. And when you look at the skeletons of these people, and I mean, they have skeletons of deceased people. They've done autopsies. You've got archaeological digs and things like that. There is significant damage. You see osteoporosis. You see what they call microfractures, what they call Crohn's back, where you have women and men that look like they're chronically hunched over. That isn't just a posture problem. That's literally an accumulation of microfractures in the vertebrae that as they heal, those vertebrae physically actually get smaller and misshapen. And that's why you end up with that hunchback. That happens from osteoporosis, which makes your body more fragile. And it happens from the stresses that you have from using your body to do things, or even just standing for 6 hours of an 8-hour day, or maybe 8 hours of a 10-hour day, just doing retail sales, just standing. Think about standing. Standing is what people do for torture. And in a retail store, you can't sit down unless you're on a break. 713-526-5738. You can help support scintillating discussion like this. Informative discussion, interesting, partly speculative, partly informative discussion. I always represent which is which. 713-526-5738. We would appreciate your assistance in supporting this terrific and really unique gem in Houston, this community-supported, independent, totally corporate-free public radio station. People like me and Egberto, we're volunteers. Almost everybody who does a show here is a volunteer. Almost everybody who engineers shows here are volunteers. Almost everybody who does paperwork here is a volunteer. We do it because, of course, it's pretty cool to be on a radio station, but we do it because we love it.
And also we are committed folks out here.
Well, of course, you have to be careful the phraseology you use because committed can cut a couple of different ways.
Well, we don't mean that we're committed.
Crazy.
We're crazy
for KPFT.
We're crazy for KPFT.
For KPFT.
And
we feel, that's why we're committed.
And we have strong civic we feel that we have a strong civic responsibility to the listening audience.
I think, I mean, there are some really great things about KPFT, things that over the years, I've now been associated with KPFT, I think, since like 2011 or 2012, I think late in 2011. So it's been a while now. And I originally came to the station because I wanted to be in radio and I hoped to get a show, and they really made me wait for that. They really made me wait. But in that time, I learned so much about what KPFT does and why it's important. The diversity of the programming, everything from indie music to queer voices to Jeff Berg. I mean, we've got even the local news, the 4 p.m. local news, where I literally hear stories that I don't hear anywhere else. Stuff that's genuinely local, genuinely niche, but important. They do a great job on really a very small staff and a very tight budget, and kudos to them. KPFT News, totally supported by your donations. Think Wing Radio, Politics Done Right on Thursdays at 3 p.m. with Egberto Willis, all of that is totally supported by your contributions. Even with all the volunteer support, even with all the tax exemptions, it costs $150 an hour to run this station because there's maintenance, there are a few salaried people, there are electric bills, utility bills. We had to replace an air conditioning system recently. That was like $8,000, $10,000. We have a broadcast antenna system out in Missouri City area that's a big nut. That's going to be a couple of $100,000 to replace. So even with all the free labor, you see, this is what actually corporations who use interns at no pay have learned. Even with free help, it still costs money to run a business. 713-526-5738. We need your support.
We need your support badly, folks. 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. Keep us alive. Keep your valued source of information.
I like to think we need their support goodly.
Yeah, I think that, you know, let's be positive.
Yeah.
713-526-5738. We need your support.
And we need it goodly. Okay, let's see. Mitt Romney. You can always look to Romney for a laugh, okay? This guy doesn't even know when he's being pathetic. Quote, and this is from the Washington Times, which is not exactly a liberal newspaper, okay? Mitt Romney says that Hillary Clinton is pandering to blacks with justice reform comments. This is the guy, of course, who, on the one hand, in the same breath, congratulated Obama, President Obama, in 2012 for winning the election, and in the very same breath said, well, you did apply, you did sort of drive to get the votes of all those urban people, which, of course, is the new black. You see, you're not African-American anymore. You're urban.
I actually prefer the word black.
I actually had this discussion with somebody the other night about, you know, whether I'm called Anglo or Caucasian or white. You know, we all have our funny right. little things. First of all, guys, I am white, but I am not Caucasian, because Caucasian would mean that I came from the Caucasus Mountain right. area of Western Asia, Eastern Europe. And, you know, and at one time that name came because early scientists thought that that's where white people originated. But you know what? So, I'll go with Caucasian. It's not a geographic term. It's just sort of a scientific designation. But Anglo, I am so not Anglo.
Yeah.
You know, Anglo, there was a time when if you came to Texas, the vast majority of those people were Anglo. Mm-hmm. They were either Anglo-Saxons with descent from
right,
the UK.
From the UK.
Or they were descended from Germans who on some level were at least related to the Anglo-Saxons.
Right.
So, you know, Anglo is more tolerable then. But now when they call me an Anglo and, you know, my family is like Austria, Hungary, Poland, Ukraine, Galicia, Russia, like that area. Do you get any Anglo-Saxon in there? No. Call me white, call me Jewish, call me Caucasian. Don't be calling me Anglo.
Well, you know,
I don't have anything against Anglo-Saxons. It's just that I'm not.
Yeah, the same thing with me. You know, it's funny because, you know, when I fill out the papers and when I fill out these apps, you know, I much rather say what people are going to see when they look in the mirror. I'm a black man, you know. The reality is, by U.S. definition, I'm Hispanic. But what's the critic, when I am here and I say, oh, yes, I'm Hispanic or Latino.
Well, on the census now, you can check multiple things. So you can check Hispanic, you can check black. Now, I've never asked you this, so I'm going to ask you for the very first time on the air.
Okay, go for it.
To what extent would you consider yourself mixed race?
No, I'm not. I am.
I mean, all of us to some extent are mixed race.
I don't consider myself mixed race. I consider myself what I see when I look into the mirror, which is a black man. Okay? And the reason I say that is if I can go down my chain and see the different people that made up the thing, believe it or not, I also have Hindu in me. I mean,
really?
People, yeah.
Now, so you see, I would assume, just looking at
right.
you from my limited knowledge of such things,
right.
I would assume you've got some European Spanish in you.
Because
of the geography, I would assume you have some Native American in you.
Right. I mean, you
indigenous people.
The thing about it is nobody, I have lineage to the Caribbean, so does that mean I also have Arawak? I mean, it could also mean...
Where is Arawak?
Those are the indigenous people that lived in the Caribbean islands. Okay?
Caribs, so, I thought they were.
Well, there's the Caribs, but then there are the other ones as well. So, I mean, but what I'm saying is I don't know any of that.
Yeah.
So the only thing...
You can only know so far back without doing genealogy.
The only thing I know about me is when I look in that mirror. That's all I know. Okay? So, I mean... I am not trying to, I am this part this and this part that. No, I'm a black man. When I look at you, Mike, I know that you have a whole lot of different stuff in you, but I see a white man. And I think that's fine. And that is just to identify your skin color. But if you're running somewhere, say, yeah, you see that white man that is running out there.
Did you ever find it funny? When I was younger, I didn't quite understand it so well. But it always struck me as funny that you would have a white guy boxing a black guy,
mm-hmm.
and they would simply refer to them as the striped trunks and the solid trunks.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. When you have a boxing match, if you have guys of two different races or ethnic groups, they don't identify them as the black guy and the white guy or the white guy and the Hispanic looking guy. It's like the striped trunks and the solid trunks, the blue trunks and the red trunks.
Oh, okay.
That's
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've always found that really, really intriguing.
Well, you know, I think, I honestly think people put too much into the race thing. You know, I mean, I like the idea of just saying, hey, you know, sometimes we're describing people, right? And the easiest way to describe a person, if let's say we're in a place that has a whole lot of white people and one black person in there, and there's something that black person did. The easiest
it's
way
the
to
black
make
guy.
A quick identification is say,
or,
it's the...
Or reversing it, if you're in a situation where everybody in the room is black and you're the token white guy, it's like,
the easiest
white guy.
Way to say to identify if that's the person you're trying to identify. I mean, if I'm trying to identify all the different white people in the room, I have to be more specific. You know that the white guy with the blonde hair that has blue eyes but... If there's only one black guy in there, I'd say the black guy. What's interesting is a lot of people, they hesitate, and you can hear the hesitation in their voice that they're scared to say, you know, and that is because
they don't mind saying white person.
Right.
But they like black person.
Right. And you see, I think, you know, I am personally, I'm so comfortable on racial issues that, no, the Chinese guy, the black guy, the whatever, and if somebody were to, no, I don't need to be sensitive. I'm actually describing what's there. And I think I'm saying in a lot of ways we need to bring Americans into that point of view that we can be that way.
I want to expand on that a little bit because I think it's an important and interesting topic. But we have to do a station ID as well as a money ask. So you're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig and Egberto Willis here on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Egberto does have his own show Thursdays from 3 to 4 called Politics Done Right. Here I like to say we do politics okay. Sometimes we don't do politics at all. But he's I think Egberto is much more political than me. I'm very political, but I also am a lot more diverse.
You do a lot of topics or whatever. I am so
focused.
Centrally focused on politics and activism,
which is great.
Right.
We need
folks
we complement
like you. Each other.
Yeah, we complement each other. You know, one of the things that you and I talked about a lot when we first started working together, and you are, I think, my third or fourth engineer before we kind of settled in. And do you remember the discussions we had about whether I wanted to talk about racial issues on this show?
Yeah, I actually remember it distinctly. And I think I remember, if I recall correctly, I looked at you and I said, it was almost like a green light, Mike. You just have to go out there and do your thing. And, you know, we have to be willing, when we're talking about racial issues, to make mistakes and not feel beat up about it.
I had real concerns because, you know, you listen to media, and one thing you learn from listening to media is that when you're in media, man, it only takes one misstep, one misspeak to really kill you.
That is true.
And that's scary.
And the thing about it, though, Mike, is I think the worst thing to do, when that happens, I think people actually know when it's happening, right?
Well, I think that the old story is that if you start a sentence with, I don't know if I should say this, but, usually you shouldn't say it.
Well, you know, I mean, if you're not being offensive and if you're trying to learn, and I'm talking about this is from whomever it is, whether it's a Chinese person, a black person, a white person talking about it, I honestly think if folks get onto these issues from an honest perspective, and if they say something that is out of bounds, I'm not talking about using N-words and all the other kind of epithets or
well,
I'm talking about,
if you use those words in the search of legitimate understanding,
right.
Like
right.
If you're having a discussion with right. somebody and you don't understand why certain words are truly offensive or hurtful
right.
to them, you can't ask the question without using the word.
Exactly.
And that gives you a pass.
And then the thing about it is also, if you're showing that you're learning and you want to know, well, exactly why am I wrong? You know what I mean? And that's a lot of the approaches that I think.
Or why do you think I'm wrong?
Or
you don't even have to admit you're
right.
wrong. Just why do you think I'm
exactly.
wrong?
Exactly. And I think that's why when you do your thing, I don't think, you know, I mean, you know,
wasn't it like 2 months we were working together before
yeah.
I sort of dipped my toe in the
right.
racial conversation on the air?
Yeah. And I think it was great. And I think not only was it great, I think it was great for the people who are listening, because if you can have this white dude and this black dude have these, I mean, if we were to have some of the conversations that we have in the green room. On air, which I think we should do sometimes, I think it actually makes a difference, because one of the things, you know, the relationship, you know, that we have is that you're not scared of saying anything. I mean, I've said certain things about, you know, your something within your specific culture that you say, well, no, brother, you're darn wrong about that. And I'm like, well, tell me why.
And occasionally I was hurt or offended, but I also understood that it was in the spirit of general misunderstanding
or
lack of understanding or simply disagreement on the interpretation of an actual fact.
Right.
And that's the legitimate discussion.
And it's important. And, you know, one of the reasons our country is still in the state that it is that people continuously run from these types of discussion.
Or they whisper black.
Right. And I tell you, the thing about it is I am not willing to run from these types of discussion. So if I'm engaged in it, I have it.
I have actually found our talks and the talks that we've had on the air over the last few months actually very liberating. Genuinely, honestly liberating. And by the way, you're listening to KPFT 90.1 FM, Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig and Roberto Willis, and we need money. 713-526-5738. If you appreciate having a place where you can talk about pretty much anything, and I consider this show for the most part to be a safe zone, there isn't much you can call about. There isn't much in terms of an opinion you can express, no matter how much I disagree with it. I won't hang up on you. Well, okay, let me say, I will do my very best not to hang up on you, not to make fun of you, not to give you a hard time. I might ask you some hard questions. But if you're going to express an opinion, I think that I'm entitled to ask some questions.
For the whole time that I've been engineering with you, I don't think you've ever hung up on anybody.
I don't think I've ever hung up on
right,
anybody.
Right, but folks, before...
But I reserve the right.
Right, but before Mike continues, because Mike isn't asking enough, so I'm going to butt in and take over his show for 2 minutes. Folks, 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. Mike Koenig, Think Wing Radio is one of our premier shows out here. And as you can see, we have very good discussions on just about every topic. Unlike other shows where they gloss over things, he takes a rather complete and complex approach. So it's worth keeping a program like this on air. So please remember, 713-526-5738. We have several gifts to give. Of course, I can't enumerate those gifts to you, but Bob can enumerate those gifts to you whenever Bob gets off the phone.
But no rush.
And he would be able to tell you some of these wonderful gifts that we have for you. But please give us a call, 713-526-5738. We do need your contributions. We do need your membership to ensure that we have this medium to give you
for years to come,
unadulterated news, and not only that, but news that is not biased by any type of corporation.
And discussion that is feared in many places. We have discussions that many people fear to have and, frankly, take a risk. But I think it's important to be able to have those discussions. You know, I visit my mom now twice a year. And my mom is an old New York Jew. She's 93. She's going to be 94. So I think I can honestly say she's an old New York Jew. And, you know, what's kind of interesting is when you have something?
Mike, I know that you have that stir, but let's get Bob in here first.
Hey, Bob.
Thank you for coming out to Pledge Central here in the lobby of the wonderful Montrose KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. And that number to call is 713-526-5738. And you can donate online at kpft.org for the worldwide listeners tonight. And hey, Mike, I know you're going to be overjoyed and elated and otherwise happy to know that you've had a couple of donors tonight,
unlike
I think last week. So we probably have a little bit to make up for last week. It seems like you did get, one pledge?
Yeah, I got one pledge last week, but it was generous, and we hit the goal.
Oh, we did. Okay. Well, you must be – do you happen to know what your goal is tonight?
I think it's $200.
Okay.
But we're pretending it's four.
Well, four is good. You know, the station actually came up a little deficient in Mark Babowie's program, which
not that we're naming names.
Preceded yours from 7 to 8, for which I engineered. I think, you know, he was several hundred dollars short. So 400 would be good. And it doesn't have to go to Mark, but it does all go to the station. And we can happily put that down for Mike Honig and Egberto Engineering tonight for him. If you would call 713-526-5738. And I will finish by thanking a couple of folks for you. And we are, $160. Another $40 membership pledge would put us at your goal tonight. So that would be $200. And then another $200, we'd have that $400 that you mentioned. So, with that, let me thank Daniel. Daniel has made a very generous donation, and he forwent a gift, or his gift is to children at risk for that traffic
stop.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Daniel.
Gift and consideration that I'm sure you must have talked about. I've been on the phone most of the evening, and I haven't been able to listen to your show. And the other person is Nicholas. Nicholas is down in League City, and he made a donation that also he wanted earmarked for that traffic stop benefit. So with that, please call. We've got about, 15 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Flores is in the house for Jazz Latino, and we'll be asking you to make a few donations for him. He has a goal tonight. And in the meantime, please call ThinkWing Radio, which is on the air presently, Mike Honig, at a new day and a new hour. And that number to call, if you guys want to give it,
713-526-5738.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, Bob. Now, I will go into my, in case you're driving, comment. If you happen to be driving, because most people listen to the radio when they're going somewhere in their cars, or sometimes sitting in the driveway listening in their cars. If you are in your car and you're driving and you want to help support KPFT and, you know, getting, you really shouldn't while you're driving be reaching for your wallet and trying to get out a credit card and trying to read it. You don't have to do that. You know what? If you're moving, if you can voice dial, all you have to do is call us up, give us your contact information. Bob can take it down. And you can tell us how much you want to pledge, and then we can finish that transaction at a time that's safer and more convenient for you. So you can call or tell Siri to call or whatever the Android thing is called, 713-526-5738. You can call up. You can say hi and tell us how you would like to help support KPFT, and Bob can consult with you if you have any questions on how best to support KPFT, whether it's a one-time contribution or a regular monthly contribution of maybe $4 or $5 a month.
Mike, I want to add, folks, it doesn't really cost you a lot of money, or it doesn't have to be painful to be a donor to have a membership at KPFT. Please do remember that these gifts do not have to be given all at once. I mean, you can set up a monthly plan, as an example.
Interest-free.
Interest-free.
We don't charge you any interest
whatsoever. As an example, a $40 membership is simply $3.34 a month, and they will set it up to bill that way if that's your choice. A $60 membership is $5 a month. Think about this. You could be buying the station a cafe mocha once a month, and that would be a $60 donation. $75 a month, which is only $6.25 per month. $7.50 a month, it's a $90 membership. $100 a month is simply $8.33 a month. And of course, $120 membership is only $10 a month. A couple of cafe mocha sventi. So please think about the value of that $10 a month supersedes the nominal value of $10 a month. So please consider being a part of our radio station. Please consider supporting the Think Wing Radio Mike Honig's show. I mean, I was about to simply call you Think Wing Radio, but you're Mike Honig of the Think Wing Radio. So please, folks, the number is 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. 5738. Please let us hear from you. I would love to hear that phone ring right now. I'm watching Bob in Pledge Central, and Bob has his hands close to the phone. We just need that phone to ring. So please.
Claw is just hovering above the phone.
He's hovering that phone. So let's see if you can be the one that makes him pick it up. And I tell you what, if he actually picks that phone up, I tell you what, let that phone ring. Give a $100 pledge, and Mike is going to tell you hello.
You know what? Here's an offer I'll make. For a $100 pledge, I'll meet somebody for, I'm not going to say lunch because that would be a problem with my hours, but I'll meet you for a late lunch or an early dinner for a $100 pledge. I'm not saying it'll be any place expensive.
Yeah, that sounds great.
You know,
absolutely.
We'll do something.
You have a chat.
No recording devices, though.
Well, these days you never know, Mike.
That's true. But anyhow, we'll talk terms and conditions later. So 713-526-5738. Now, here's kind of an interesting topic. You've heard about the Draw Muhammad contest that ended up provoking a shooting.
I was so upset about that, but I want to hear your take, sir.
I don't know if I have a take. You know, I will tell you part of the complexity of my feeling about it. Judaism and Islam actually are similar in a way, because both religions forbid graven images. If you look at the coinage, for example, of Israeli money, they don't have Ben Gurion on any of the money. They don't have Golda Meir on any of the money. They don't have depictions of Moses on any of the money, because under strict Jewish law, you do not make a graven image that can be interpreted as idolatrous. Idolatrous. So in this way, Islam and Judaism are very, very similar if you are fundamentalist about it. On the other hand, and I will say this, when you get to the very, very Orthodox religious Jews, they can be very violent about this stuff. And in Israel, you know, they've been known to stone buses that are running on the Sabbath because they feel that nobody should be in a motor vehicle on the Sabbath because they're not supposed to. And the majority of Jews in Israel, this isn't necessarily well known, but the majority of Jews in Israel are fairly secular. There are a lot of non-practicing or barely practicing or high holy day practicing Jews in Israel that, for the most part, they're not religious. And that's the majority of Jews in Israel. So when you look at this drawing Muhammad, you know, on the one hand, I like to try to be respectful of other people's sensitivities. It's not necessarily in most cases any harm to me to be considerate of them. On the other hand, you know, you can make the case that there certainly is intolerance, oversensitivity, an unwillingness to acknowledge that what is forbidden to people who believe in the Prophet Muhammad and people who believe in the tenets of Islam, I think that there's a legitimate argument as to whether that must be enforced across the entire globe, regardless of what someone believes. You know, there have been some heinous images of Jesus. I'm not even Christian. And some of the depictions of Jesus are truly tasteless. I mean, if you were going to provoke violence, some of these would provoke violence. And the thing is that Western civilization, I'm not going to use the term advanced because that's very ethnocentric, but I think that Western civilization has evolved to the point where you can be really ticked off at how someone refers to your religion, vocalize how ticked off you are, demonstrate about how ticked off you are without killing anybody, without attacking anybody, without stoning anybody. Always exceptions to the rule. But in general, society frowns on people who commit violence out of religious offense.
Now, I couldn't disagree with anything that you said, but to go out, I mean, to have a $10,000 contest
for
the most offensive is almost a call out for religious fanatics to come. I'm not saying that they're correct.
It's almost a form of artistic trolling.
Exactly. And that's, you know, so I mean, and they knew they were doing that. They had to pay an extra $10,000 to use the facilities because of the threat. They also had to have guards out there to protect it. So they know that this was a distinct possibility. So they went out of their way to instigate some sort of an action. So, I mean, while I think you're absolutely correct that, you know, in Western societies, we tolerate a whole lot more of these, of the desecration of those things that are held in desirable in our case. Yes. We allow these things to be desecrated without doing anything wrong. I mean, about it, we must remember that we do have our fanatics as well. And not only that, as a country, however, while a lot of countries may do things for religious reasons, our reasons for effecting violence in others may not be religious, but at times can be something else. So I guess what I'm really trying to say is that this particular group was intent on provoking an act, but I just hope that their success in effecting that act doesn't again put another blemish on how we treat our Muslim brothers and sisters, because do remember that this type of, you know, violence is affected by just about anybody of any type, class, race, whatever.
You know, we talk a lot about freedom of religion in this country, and I think that there is a portion of the population that seriously misunderstands exactly what that means legally, constitutionally, and civilly speaking. But I think it provokes interesting conversation. You know, Salman Rushdie, when he was questioned about the Charlie Hebdo shooting, and I guess somebody was sort of giving a guilty with an explanation defense of the shooters, and Salman Rushdie told the story that this person said to him, "I believe in free speech, but," and Salman Rushdie immediately cut him off and said, "As soon as you add a but, you don't believe in free speech."
And he was wrong there. I heard he also said that on the Bill Maher show. And,
yes.
And Rushdie was wrong. The reality is we have free speech, but you don't go into a theater and shout fire. So there, you know,
there are constraints.
Right, there are constraints. And the thing about it is we always get into trouble when we try to be purists, you know, and Rushdie would love us to be purists. And
well, he has good reason.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he's had serious trauma in his life related to the question of free speech.
Absolutely.
And religious free speech.
I agree with that. But, I mean, the truth of the matter is purists, I mean, if you're looking to have purists in ideology or purists in anything, that is a, in my opinion at least, I think that's a recipe for failure.
But on the other hand, you know, by the way, there was also a group recently that gave Charlie Hebdo, apparently a group of some consequence, gave them a free speech award. And that created some debate about, you know, on the one hand, no excuse for shooting people for cartooning. On the other hand, some of Charlie Hebdo's cartoons, from an impartial observer, could be seen as being very offensive. And the question is, does that deserve a free speech award? And, you know, it's kind of like the Time Person of the Year award, when they have, historically, they've had people like the Ayatollah Khomeini,
Hitler,
Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin. And they always have to give an explanation with those. It's not the Person of the Year because they did something great, necessarily. It's the Person of the Year because they made news. They were the news center of the year as far as Time magazine is concerned.
And what's interesting is they should have to have that explanation for whomever it is that they put up there, whether it's somebody that we all like. Because, I mean, think about putting somebody like a popular actor, Denzel Washington, on there. Why would Denzel Washington be the Person of the Year? You know, I mean,
he's cool.
No, but what I'm saying is, you know, every one of these things would need to be qualified. So I don't, you know, I get your point.
So, you know, as far as the Draw Muhammad, freedom of religion can also mean freedom from religion. Being offended is permissible, but imposing your offense on others and punishing them for it if they don't believe as you do, that is not acceptable. That is not only freedom of religion, that is freedom from religion.
Mike, you're so right, but we have 2.5 minutes to get some money.
To get
so
some
folks,
money.
713-526-5738. Let's finish Mike on a high ground. 713-526-5738. And it seems to me like Bob wants to say something, so Bob, you're hot.
Hey, well, gosh, I've got nothing else to say, and that's a little disappointing.
That's almost like me having nothing else to say.
Well, you know what? Since before, let's be quick here then, Bob.
It's that New York business.
I know.
Bob is going to slap
me. Bob hates to be interrupted.
Yeah, I know. Bob is going to
slap me. It almost becomes a challenge
now.
On air, Bob, I'm going to say this on air. Bob, I am so sorry. On air, I said that, Bob.
We're going to both apologize in advance for all the interruptions we are going to put you through.
Yes.
And to you, I want you to hear me. You need to relax more because we almost lost you over that darn peanut.
Say what now?
You weren't here, Mike. Well, then he had to be macho about it and go into denial.
Oh, something with Egberto.
But yeah. He had a little bit of fear on his face.
Did you almost joke or something?
These are some great guys, my good friends, Bob and Bobby, great guys. But, folks,
5-2-6-5-7-3-8.
I'm going to say
just another $40 to get you right at
please,
the minimum.
Man,
please.
$40. Please. Let me say this. You know, we have really spent very little time bugging you for money during this hour.
Yes.
That was not accidental. I came in here deciding that we were going to do a little fundraising and as much entertaining as we could during that time, especially considering we can't take phone calls. As I'm hoping as a reward for having entertained you more than we have begged you, it would be great if you guys would kick in a few bucks. 713-526-5738. $40 would be great.
You know, the Catholics have a little thing called tithing, so maybe depending on
I'm not even asking for a tenth of your
to just go ahead and, you know, do what's considered to be the duty.
You know, if you want to dedicate a tenth of your income to KPFT by listening to this show, I'm cool with that, but we're not asking for that. Just asking for what you can afford.
Please.
Think Wing Radio, KPFT, 90.1 FM, Houston. I'm Mike Honig. I'm here with Egberto Willis and Bob over there and Pledge Central. Thank you so much, Bob. I'll be here next week. I'll have to ask you for money one more time next week, but I'll also try to entertain you. So have a good week.